Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to this podcast. In today's segment, we'll be talking with Manish Gupta, the CEO at a leading cybersecurity firm known as Shift Left. They're based in Santa Clara, California. Manish, thanks for your time, and let's go ahead and get started here.
Thank you, Ravi.
Oh, no problem. We looked up your bio, and you seem to have a very deep and rich background in the field of cybersecurity. Can you tell us some of the highlights of your career, please?
Of course. I have been very fortunate to have been associated with several leading innovations in the areas of cybersecurity. Most recently, Ravi, I was at a company called FireEye, which is, of course, quite famous now. And that is the company that led the identification of various modern malware, advanced persistent threat groups in China. Before that, I was briefly running the security business at Cisco. At McAfee, I was involved in the invention of the intrusion detection, intrusion prevention system, which is about a $1 billion market today. And prior to that, I was at iPolicy, where I was part of creating the concept of next-generation firewall way back in 2004.
Wow, that sounds like a very fascinating career. How did you venture into Shift Left? Is this a company that you kind of created on your own and it's kind of grown from there, or do you have other people help you with it? Tell us more about it, please.
Of course, yes. I started Shift Left in 2016. With my co-founders, Chetan Konicki and Vlad Ionescu. We foresaw a problem in 2016, Ravi, which had to do with the movement of software into the cloud. As you know well, that is one of the biggest IT trends afoot today. We are developing software ever faster and deploying it in hybrid cloud environments like Amazon's AWS or Microsoft's Azure. And none of the security solutions that are available in the market today were built to protect such applications. And it is as we saw that need that we felt there was a novel approach that we could bring to the market, hence Shift Left.
Okay. Now, how long has Shift Left been in business?
About 2.5 years.
Okay. Who is your typical customer base that you're trying to target? Is it the small to medium-sized business, the large companies like the Fortune 500, or is it a combination of both of these?
So one of the things that we've learned in the last 18 months as we've talked to more than 350 prospects, customers now, is that every company is deploying software in the cloud. That includes small companies, so-called born-in-the-cloud companies. It involves some of the largest banks on Wall Street, as well as government agencies, although they have a slight variation. Instead of deploying in the commercial version of the cloud, they deploy in the government version of the cloud. But nonetheless, everyone's deploying software in the cloud. So what we are finding is that it is not the size of the customer that is relevant. Everyone has this need. It is much more about the importance that the customer places on the security of their software that they're hosting in the cloud.
Okay. Sounds good. Now, let's get into your product and service line. It looks like that Shift Left has your main product line is in cloud security that is very application specific or very app specific. Could you please elaborate more on this in further detail and how this is used in cybersecurity?
Yeah. If we take a look at how security solutions that protect applications work today, the way they work is, Ravi, that regardless of what your application is, in fact, not just your application or my application or anyone else's application, they treat all the applications the same way, and instead, they focus on the threat landscape, which is constantly changing, and they continuously write new signatures, so that they can protect, regardless of what app they're trying to protect, from the new threats that are emerging every day. And that approach is what we've been using as a security industry for roughly the last two decades, and it doesn't work. The reason it doesn't work is because, according to Virus Portal, we see more than 350,000 pieces of new malware a day, right? So it is a pace of change that we can't continue to keep up with. So at ShiftLeft, we flipped the problem on its head. Instead of focusing on threats, we focus on the application. And because every application is unique, and because every application is unique, and in fact, not just the application, every version of the application is unique. And so for every version of the application, we understand its weaknesses in a matter of minutes so that we can protect it precisely against its own weaknesses. And this whole process can happen in less than 20 minutes. And this is what allows ShiftLeft to deliver what we call application-specific security.
Now, how is this deployed? Is it like an on-premise solution, or is it in the cloud, or could it be deployed both ways for a customer?
It can be deployed both ways, but we predominantly want to focus on the applications that are deployed in the cloud. So the reason I mentioned the both ways is there are government agencies who are interested in primarily using this on-prem, but then they are willing to pay us the extra money for the additional effort that we have to take in order to make this work on-prem.
Okay. Now, could you tell us more about the technological architecture that you use for your application, for the app, or for your cloud security?
Yeah, of course. So what we do is we use modern static code analysis techniques to identify the weaknesses, the vulnerabilities, and how application treats data very quickly, as I said, in a matter of minutes. Once we identify this, we expose this list of weaknesses and vulnerabilities to the end customer, and they can choose to fix whatever they want to fix. But knowing fully well that no one ever gets to fix everything because of time to market pressures, whatever is not fixed, we take that knowledge to instrument the application in production to protect it from the things, from the weaknesses that were not fixed. As a result, what you have is one part of the solution becomes code-informed runtime protection, whereas where we are taking the knowledge of the application's weaknesses to protect it in production. But the other is also runtime-informed code analysis. Because we have visibility into both source code as well as runtime, we can take the knowledge that we glean in the production environment to color and inform the code analysis results. And these two solutions are kind of the yin and the yang of the ShiftLeft overall solution. Both of these are offered via the cloud, and we call these products ShiftLeft Inspect, which is the code analysis side of the product, and ShiftLeft Protect, which is the runtime protection side of the product.
Okay. Now, how can they detect for cyber threats? Does it examine the source code level?
Yes, indeed. What we do is we understand the weaknesses, and perhaps it's a good perhaps we can explain this better using an example. Let's say your application suffers from SQL injection vulnerability. Well, because we know that precisely where in your source code, let's say there is a class in line 100 that has the vulnerability. Because we understand this, Ravi, at runtime, we only monitor this class at line 100 to see if it is receiving patterns that can cause this application to be exploited. If we see that pattern, we can detect it or prevent it. Now, if we think about this from the threat perspective, well, the number of ways you can exploit a SQL injection vulnerability are largely infinite. And the alternative approach would be to continuously write new patterns, new signatures for detecting SQL injections. And yes, as you mentioned, that this is how we are able to protect the application from cyber attacks, but not by focusing on threats, but instead focusing on the weaknesses in the software.
Sounds excellent. Now, is your product designed to examine the cybersecurity weaknesses and threats based upon the OWASP top 10 risk model?
Yes, indeed. We do focus on the OWASP, but we go beyond that. OWASP is a subset of vulnerabilities. OWASP is created largely to call attention, right, to the most important vulnerabilities that are exploited most often. But that is not a comprehensive set. And so recently, we tested against the OWASP benchmark application, and our score for that benchmark application was three times more than the industry average. We scored a 75%, whereas all the other vendors combined have an average of about 26%.
Now, how does your product prevent data leakage?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked me, because that is a very important facet of what is going wrong with the applications that are rapidly developed and deployed in the cloud. Again, it's best to use a couple of examples to illustrate the power of the shift left approach. Because we are asking developers, Ravi, to write code ever faster and deploy, one of the things that happens is developers can make mistakes. After all, they're humans. One of the examples that we saw in 2018 was what happened to Twitter. They accidentally logged credentials of their 350 million users to a log file. Now, thankfully, they were doing a GDPR audit, and so they discovered it before the bad guys got access to it. But if you ask the question, why did this happen? Well, it happened because someone made an error in writing the software. So that is precisely what Shift Left is looking for. We are looking for scenarios in source code where the software is writing important information to places that it should not be writing to, where software is writing important information without proper encryption or obfuscation.
Okay. Now, do you provide any dashboards for your customers so that they can see the cyber risk or vulnerabilities in real time?
Absolutely. We host this dashboard for our products in our cloud, and so it is accessible through any browser. You would, once you become a Shift Left customer or as a prospect, if you're trialing, you would get a username and password, and you can use those credentials to log into our dashboard. And it is a very rich user experience, because we are able to demonstrate, we are able to show you the vulnerabilities in software from one version to another across many different versions across a long amount of time frame. As a result, you can see if you are an individual developer who's perhaps most interested in looking at the posture of one application, you can see how, as a company, you're doing in uplifting, improving the security posture. Whereas if you are a CISO or VP of engineering, you can take a broader view and see how your organization as a whole is doing in improving the overall security posture of the application.
Okay. Now, what kinds of programming languages does your product examine? Can it look at both the closed source and open source architectures, such as, you know, Linux.net,
yep,
and so forth?
Yeah, great question. And there are two parts to that question, Ravi. One is, do we look at both closed source and open source software? The answer is yes. And that's imperative that a vendor today do that, because it's very rare to find applications today that do not have open source. And ShiftLeft is the first solution in the marketplace which analyzes both software written by the organization, so-called closed source, as well as open source together. So that's one part to your question. The other question that you asked was, what programming languages do we support? So today, we support Java, C#, C, and C++. And we're continuously adding new programming languages. And so in 2019, we expect to add a few more programming languages to this list.
Okay. Could you elaborate more on those languages that you plan to add on? Or?
So some of the programming languages, so JavaScript or Node.js is something that we are already working on. And after that, we are debating between Python, Golang, Ruby, and Scala.
Okay. Now, how does your product exactly reduce the MTTR?
Oh, that's a great question. That's one of my favorite questions. How does our product reduce mean time to repair? So, given we are talking about reduction, I think it's important to think how does the world work today and how can the world work with ShiftLeft. So let's first talk about how the world works today. You have an application, it's deployed in the cloud, and you are using a state-of-the-art web application firewall to protect your application. A threat comes in and the web application firewall generates an alert. It goes into your security operations center. You get that alert, and then you start to investigate. And you will go through some time. Sometimes it takes days. In some organization, it takes weeks. Now, and very rarely does the organization ever conclude that this attack corresponds to this vulnerability in the application. And if I fix this vulnerability, I don't care about these kinds of attacks anymore. That almost never happens. And so you would investigate the one alert, it'll take you weeks. Then next time you see the alert, well, guess what? You will most likely go through the same process all over again. And this is why we, as an industry, talk about why there aren't enough security folks, security practitioners, to deal with all the alerts that our security tools generate. So that is how the world works today. Now let's think about how the world works with ShiftLeft. You've deployed the same application, but this time instead of web application firewall, you are using the ShiftLeft agent. As the same attack comes in, ShiftLeft will protect it, protect your application. But because we know precisely where in your source code that vulnerability exists because of which this attack could have exploited the application, we will give you the line of code that needs to be fixed. As you can therefore see, what perhaps took months, weeks, or almost never happened can now be done in a matter of minutes. Once we give you the line of code that needs to be fixed, the developers can take a day, a week to fix it. And from there on, we no longer need to worry about the kind of attack that we just protected the application from, because the application is no longer vulnerable. So we are not only significantly reducing the mean time to repair, we are constantly uplifting the security posture of the application.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, on your website, there are numerous features about your product mentioned, such as keeping track of data flow, threat detection models or modules, the code property graph, and so forth. Could you elaborate more on these features, please?
Yeah, of course. So let's take these one at a time. So let's start with the code property graph. So the core property graph is actually the invention of our chief scientist, Dr. Fabian Yamaguchi, who did his PhD in this area in Germany. and essentially figured out a way to convert the entire source code of the application into one graph that is called code property graph. Now, what is important here is when I said all the source code. So what does that include? That includes custom code, that includes open source libraries, third-party APIs, and frameworks. Again, this has never been done before. And this one graph includes various other code analysis-centric graphs, such as syntax tree, dependence graph, data flow graphs, etc. So it is a very richly annotated graph that we generate for each version of each software in a matter of minutes. So that's the code property graph. It is the very foundation of the shift left technology. Now, on top of this code property graph, we then write policies, rules to identify vulnerabilities. Think about these more or less like firewall rules, where we can write very powerful, flexible rules such as from any source, such as HTTP, to a sync, let's say a SQL query, am I seeing any data go through without proper transformation? As a result, we can find SQL injections. Similarly, we can find data flow errors where we can ask, is there any sensitive data that is coming from the HTTP interface and is being written to a sync without proper encryption or obfuscation? If yes, well, that is a data leakage. So once we write rules on the core property graph, the output of these rules becomes the security DNA. So think about security DNA as the list of weaknesses, vulnerabilities, and data leakages in your application. One part of the core property graph is the data flow graph, which is how data flows through your application. And I think that sort of completes the description of the various elements you had asked me about.
Sounds excellent. Now, what is the shift left micro agent and how does it work exactly?
The shift left micro agent, Ravi, is very thin, which is why we call it micro agent, which is a very lightweight micro agent that instruments the application that the customer wants us to protect in production. So again, using an example to make this more practical is, let's imagine a Java application. Well, Java application runs in a Java virtual machine. So when you deploy that Java application, let's say in a container or on a virtual machine in AWS, as that Java application is booting up into the Java virtual machine, our micro agent boots up alongside the application and tells the Java virtual machine specific points in this application that the micro agent wants to instrument because that is where the vulnerabilities exist. The beauty of this approach is that the same tools that a customer uses to deploy their application, such as a chef or a puppet, can also be used transparently to deploy our micro agent alongside your application. And it is this ability that allows us to be infrastructure independent. You could be using AWS or Azure, doesn't matter to us. You could be using containers or virtual machines, again, doesn't matter to us. Or you could be using any operating system, Windows, Linux, again, it doesn't matter to us.
Okay. Now, what kinds of alerts does your product exactly provide?
Yeah, so every time we see either an attack pattern that can exploit an existing vulnerability, we will create an alert. Anytime we believe the application is creating a data leakage scenario, is writing data that it shouldn't be writing, we will create an alert. We will also give you information on how the application is being exercised, meaning we will tell you how many calls per minute are going to each source and how many calls per minute are going to each sync. So you, for each application, you have a very rich tapestry of information on how exactly is your application behaving. Much of this information is to help you improve the security posture of the application, but some of this information can also be used for non-security use cases, such as understanding how the application is being used, period, and how perhaps the next version of the application usability or performance can be enhanced.
Okay. Now, how does your product determine, like, what bad data really is? How do you define bad data in your product?
Yeah. So, again, just to stay with the SQL injection vulnerability, to illustrate what is meant by bad data. So, like I had mentioned earlier, so let's say we do find somewhere in your code that you're suffering from a SQL injection vulnerability. Well, but SQL injection vulnerability is exploited through a various range of patterns to exploit that vulnerability. For example, if you go to a website and it asks for a username, and if you type Ravi, well, that's perfectly fine. But let's say this field is vulnerable to SQL injection. And as a sort of the bad guy, you're not going to put your name. Instead, you might write 1=1. Now, clearly, that's not a valid username, and the application should receive this data and look for errors in this data and conclude that, this is not a valid username. But because of the presence of the vulnerability, the software weakness, the application fails to do this. And when it runs this logic, 1=1, which is, of course, always going to be true, it can cause the application to behave anomalously. It could cause the application to, for example, take all the data in the database and give it to you, right, which is called a SQL injection vulnerability. So the bad data really corresponds to each vulnerability. Patterns that cause each vulnerability to be exploited tend to be different.
Okay. Now, what were the results of the penetration test that Cobalt performed on your product?
Yeah, so this is a favorite test of mine now because something like this had just never been done in the industry. What we did was we developed an application to mimic a finance application, kind of like, you know, imagine your bankofamerica.com or wellsfargo.com. And we deliberately put 7 vulnerabilities in this application. And then we hosted this application in AWS without any protection. We then, Ravi, took another instance of the same application with the same vulnerabilities, but this time we protected it using ShiftLeft. We then hired these white hat hacker organization called Cobalt to take 2 weeks to try and exploit both of these application instances. As you can imagine, the unprotected application, they were able to exploit and find all the 7 vulnerabilities in less than 3 days. But for 2 weeks, even though it was the same application and therefore knew where the vulnerabilities in the second instance of the application were, they took 2 weeks, but still could not exploit or find a single vulnerability in the protected version of the application. It is this sort of almost deterministic security that ShiftLeft can provide organizations that is a game-changing technology.
Sure. Sounds excellent. Now, can your product detect any hidden trends, threat vectors that's supposed to kind of scope out? Because I know in cybersecurity, finding, you know, hidden trends, hidden, you know, whatever, it's starting to become very important in order to kind of predict what the future holds.
Yes, indeed. This is early stages for the company, so I won't necessarily call it a trend yet. But we are you know, one of the things that became quite popular in 2018 was Java deserialization. It is a kind of a vulnerability that we've known for some time. But 2018, we saw a lot of customers which were breached, Equifax being one of them, because it's a very prevalent kind of a vulnerability in Java, which is a very popularly used programming language. I think in the next few years, I won't be surprised if we were to find that many of the cloud applications have already been breached, and the bad guys are stealing data, but we just don't know about that. Because if we pause and ask ourselves the question, if we've taken an application, and let's say it's an e-commerce application, and let's say we have 1 million users, so we therefore have their username, their password, and perhaps their credit card information. And let's say some bad guy is hacked into that application and is constantly stealing the information, the credentials of the 1 million users. Well, as an owner of this application, how are you going to be able to detect it? In vast majority of the times, the answer is, I wouldn't know. And so with ShiftLeft protecting your application, I won't be surprised if in the next few years we see that trend emerge, that many of the cloud applications have been compromised. The third, more sinister trend that I suspect we will foresee in the next decade is when nation-state attackers have already exploited an organization and have altered the source code of the application for nefarious purposes. An example that comes to mind, which happened to a company 3-4 years ago, is that one of the APT groups breached the organization, changed the source code of their core router to copy packets and send them to a CNC address. In essence, the question, therefore, we have to ask is, are we aware every time our source code is changing and is writing, and in the new changes that are being made, is writing data to a place that it shouldn't be writing? And the answer is, today, the only way we can do this is through manual code reviews. And the pace of change and the amount of software that we are writing just doesn't allow us to do this in a manual way. And so that is another very, as I mentioned, sinister use case that ShiftLeft can address. This is not something that we will find in many, many organizations, but this is something that I suspect, I won't be surprised if we find in organizations that play a vital role in the nation's infrastructure.
Okay. Sounds excellent. Now, in the cybersecurity world here, you know, the protection of sensitive data and information is very, very critical. How does your product exactly do with this?
Yeah. So one of the things that we've done as a cybersecurity industry, again, over the last two decades, is we've always looked for data leakage on the network. Or we've looked at it on the endpoints, meaning consumers or, excuse me, users' laptops. When we look for data leakage scenarios on the network, they are very prone to error because, you know, A, everything in the network is getting encrypted, so it becomes very expensive to break down that encryption tunnel and to look inside it to find patterns of data. Now, there are certain things that for which there are known good patterns, like credit card numbers. We know what those numbers, credit card numbers, look like. But what about usernames or passwords or intellectual property or healthcare information? It's very hard to establish patterns. And so it is those kinds of data leakages that are almost impossible to detect via network inspection. Now, the question is, well, can we detect them on the employees' machines? Well, not all data is leaked through the employees' machines. Firstly. And secondly, the same problems of encryption exist on the end user's machine as well. And so by flipping the problem on its head again, and instead of looking for patterns, the thing that we do at Shift Left is we look at the variable names, object names that developers use to store information in their applications. So let's take an example again. So let's say it's Amazon.com, well, well-known e-commerce application. The majority of the data, the AWS sensitive data, such as usernames, passwords, credit card information, or addresses, are essentially received through the Amazon application. When you log in, it has your data. When I log in, it has my data, and so on and so forth. But all of this data, our credentials, our personal information, is stored in objects. So like AWS, Amazon developers might call it first name or last name. So at Shift Left, we monitor these names. And because of the way we, because of the unique manner in which we understand how this data flows through the application, we can conclude that, this application is writing a customer's credit card number to a hard disk without encrypting it. Or this application is accidentally sending someone's HIPAA information to a third-party API without proper obfuscation. So to summarize, instead of focusing on patterns, because they're very noisy and very hard to detect, we focus on the object names. And that becomes very deterministic to identify.
Okay. Sounds excellent. Now, are there any specific methodologies that you use to detect cyber-based threats and vulnerabilities?
Yeah. So the very fundamental source of all software weaknesses is what is called 3S's, meaning you are receiving something from a source and you're not sanitizing it before you put it into a sink. That is the source of all kinds of vulnerabilities, such as SQL injection, buffer overflow, Java deserialization, zip slip, and so on and so forth. But every vulnerability has a slight variation. Right, buffer overflow has to do with memory allocation. SQL injection has to do with writing SQL queries. Java deserialization has to do with handling serialized patterns, serialized data in Java programming language. So that is what we have to constantly do. We have to constantly keep up with looking for investigating new vulnerabilities and finding unknown vulnerabilities in software. But the good part about this approach relative to a threat-based approach is number of threat patterns that can exploit a vulnerability is very large. So as we were talking about SQL injection, even though that might be one vulnerability, the number of patterns that can exploit that vulnerability might be 100,000. And so instead of writing 100,000 threat signatures, the Shift Left approach is far superior because we write one vulnerability-based signature.
Okay. Sounds excellent. Now, let's kind of segue back to your company, Shift Left. What kinds of industries have made use of your product?
Yeah, so we are very focused, Ravi, currently on three verticals, finance, fintech, technology companies, and the fourth one being government agencies.
Okay. Now, we know in the cyber threat landscape, there's some really big attacks coming out, like ransomware, business email compromise, cryptojacking, so forth. Has your company, Shift Left, have you dealt with these kinds of cyber threats?
Yeah, so we have not dealt with things like ransomware because they are very much an end-user machine problem. We are very focused on protecting the server-side applications. And so as a result, we don't deal with things like ransomware.
Okay. Now, the Internet of Things, or the IoT, is starting to become one of the hot topics here in cybersecurity, and it sounds like, you know, it's going to really start to pick up next year. Have you personally, or has Shift Left done any work with IoT?
Yeah, so we have done some work with IoT. There is, because again, for us, even the IoT software is only a piece of software at the end. So the same vulnerabilities, the vulnerabilities that exist, for example, in a cloud deployed application will, of course, be different than the app vulnerabilities that we need to worry about in an IoT application. But the approach remains the same, where we, even for an IoT software, we would analyze it very quickly to find the vulnerabilities, and whatever vulnerabilities are not fixed, we can instrument the application. Now, the instrumentation of the application does not work for all kinds of IoT devices, right? Because if you have, for example, a $50 thermostat, you may not want to spend money to protect that $50 thermostat. But instead, what you might want to do is protect the server-side application that aggregates information from the millions of your thermostats deployed worldwide. So at the end of the day, even when we talk about IoTs, there are really two items that we need to worry about. One is the security of the IoT, the device itself. And the other is security of the server-side application that talks to all of these devices. So shift-left applicability is clear for the server-side application, the head end, if you will, or the central brains of the application, of the company, if you will. And the applicability on the IoT device will really depend upon the importance of the device and the amount of processing power and memory available to be able to deploy a security solution like shift-left.
Okay, sounds good. Now, can you tell us more about the various recognitions that ShiftLift has received, such as the fastest SAST score, cool vendor from Gartner, various global excellence awards? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so one of the more recent awards that we won was the, or the recognition, if you will, was the OWASP benchmark, which I had mentioned earlier, where we scored 75% relative to the industry average of 26%, where the best vendor scores 32%, right? So we are about 2 to 3 times better than anyone else. In terms of fast, we can analyze an application in a matter of minutes. It takes all our competitors hours or sometimes days to analyze the same application. Because of our approach, Gartner did recognize us as a cool vendor in 2018. Those are some of the awards that we won in our short life of 2 years.
Well, hey, that's still excellent for being in business for 2 years. It's, that's still quite an accolade. My congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Now, obviously, there are many cybersecurity vendors, in California and on the East Coast, the southern states here like Texas. What separates ShiftLeft from the other cybersecurity vendors? Why should a customer say, hey, I want to come to you first for my for the problems that I'm having, for the needs that I have?
Yeah, indeed. One of the things that we've learned, right, by talking to more than 350 customers over the last 2 years, Ravi, is the novel approach that ShiftLeft has. Many customers have told me that, number one, the ShiftLeft approach is unique. It is unique because instead of reacting to threats, we understand the weaknesses in the software, the so-called security DNA, and then customize protection for each version of each application in a matter of minutes. Our vision is that regardless of how fast your continuous integration, continuous deployment pipeline is running, excuse me, Shift Left can insert security into the fastest of CI/CD pipelines. We can analyze the software, understand its weaknesses, and whatever isn't fixed, we can protect against it in the production environment. And so customers continuously tell us, A, this is a very unique approach, and B, they don't know of any other company that is taking this approach. And so it's time, I feel, as a cybersecurity industry, that we stopped thinking about just constantly reacting to threats, because the last 25 years have taught us that that is not a successful strategy. And instead, focus on what we can control and what we can fix within our own software so that we can continuously decrease the security risk to our organization.
Sounds excellent there. Now, do you offer any free trials or any type of free assessments for your customers before you onboard them on?
Absolutely. So we offer a two-week free proof of concept. And what that entails is, you know, the customer brings us X number of applications that they want us to help and protect. And in a two-week time frame, they get to experience the Shift Left value proposition end-to-end. And if they like it, they decide to move forward.
Okay. Sounds pretty straightforward there. Now, do you depend upon a value-added reseller or a strategic partner model to kind of reach out to new customers and to kind of increase your sales channel?
Ravi, we currently do not have any partners, and that is primarily because we are still a young company. But, yeah, in 2019, I definitely expect to establish relationships with certain partners to amplify our go-to-market reach.
Okay. Sounds excellent. Now, talking about customers, do you have any customer success stories or any case studies that you'd like to share with our audience, or maybe elaborate a little bit more further on that you maybe have talked about in other questions?
That's a great question. It is one of the challenges in cybersecurity. Is very rarely our customers able, allowing their vendors to highlight their names. You should visit www.shiftleft.io, and we do expect some case studies to come out in early 2019.
Okay. Are there any stories that you could maybe share without giving your client's name? Do you have anything in general that you could maybe mention to our audience? Or?
Yeah, of course. I'll give you three examples.
Okay.
The first one is a fintech company, and they are using our Shift Left Ocular product. I'll talk about what that product does in a minute. That is one product that I haven't talked about yet. But they use this product to find 5 unknown vulnerabilities in 3 weeks. On average, without Shift Left, it took them 4 months to find 2 unknown vulnerabilities. Meaning the Shift Left approach helped them become or improve their productivity roughly 7x. What does the Shift Left Ocular product do? Well, we talked about Shift Left Inspect and Protect, which are SaaS products. Shift Left Ocular is an on-prem product that code researchers, vulnerability researchers, code auditors, developers like to use to audit their own code. The tool is great because for the first time in the industry, it allows you to use your knowledge of the application to look for weaknesses in code. The second example I would give you is there is a 3,000-person software organization. We protected their application from a Java deserialization vulnerability while the application was running in production. But the key is to understand the nature in which this vulnerability manifested. So this customer was using a third-party API like Twilio. On the Twilio API was in turn using a vulnerable version of a Jackson data bind library. Now this customer was, of course, using the Twilio API without ever having any visibility that just by using this library, just by using this API, they were also inheriting a vulnerable version of an open source library. So the customer was not sanitizing input. The Twilio API was not sanitizing input. As a result, the bad guy was able to submit a serialized input, which went through the application, through the Twilio API, to the vulnerable function within the open source library. If it were not for ShiftLeft, the application would have been exploited. But because we do this level of in-depth analysis, we were able to find the vulnerability, instrument the application, see this input in production, and protect the application. And expose all of this detail to the customer, saying that, look, we saw a pattern that would have exploited the application. Here is the vulnerability, which is in this Jackson data bind library being used by Twilio, being used here in your code. The third example I'll give you is a gaming company in the Bay Area who, once they looked at the, once they did the POC with ShiftLeft, they found that they were writing in their source code accidentally. They were writing the unique identification numbers of their customers' devices to a third-party API without any encryption or obfuscation. Now, given that they're a unique, given that they're a gaming company, the unique identifiers of the device of the devices is the sensitive information that they have, and they were just accidentally giving it away to a third party, right? So this is an example of an accidental data leakage, which, as I mentioned earlier, is happening more and more because we are writing software ever faster.
Okay. Sounds excellent. Now, does the federal government make use of your products and services?
Yes, but it is a use case which is very much focused around data leakage today. I can't say much more about that.
I understand. Okay. Now, as we approach the last part of our show here, let's just kind of now segue into the cyber, threat landscape in general. Now, we're hearing about, the chief, executive officer, the CISO, the CIO, making them more accountable for, the cyber defenses in their organization. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think this will be like one of the hot button topics in 2019?
I think it needs to be, and it will be, a hot-button type of topic. I think when we look at whether it's going to be 2019 or not, I can't say. But when we look at the trend in a longer time horizon, I get amazed by just how much visibility the C-suite now has, and even the board now has, of cybersecurity issues. Even 5 years ago, in my early days at FireEye, rarely did a board ever ask about cybersecurity. It's starting to become much more prevalent now, and it is only going to increase because the value that the software provides to our nation's GDP is constantly increasing. And consequently, the very security of that software will also continuously increase.
Now, we keep hearing about nation state threat actors, and I think you may even have mentioned this in one of the previous questions. We keep hearing about North Korea, China, Russia, and so forth. What are your thoughts on that?
Given my experience at FireEye, I had a front row seat to these nation state attackers. Yeah, I think this is part of life now. We shouldn't expect it to go away anytime soon, because, the digital realm plays an ever-increasing role in our daily lives, and therefore it is, I suppose, fair game for nations to use the cyber realm to spy on other countries and to get a leg up in the competitive world. I think where this becomes unfair is when the nation states use the same techniques to exploit and gain competitive advantage over commercial organizations. Now, will this, at FireEye, again, we saw and exposed the various techniques that these guys have been using, these nation state attackers have been using, which, of course, their techniques constantly evolve. I think the part that we haven't learned about yet is how are these nation state attackers exploiting cloud-based applications? And it goes back to what I had mentioned earlier, that it's not that they have decided that, we are never going to touch cloud-based applications, and we will only continue to go after traditional technologies or end users. That's absolutely not the case. The case is that they are exploiting it, but we just don't have good visibility into our cloud applications. And that is something we hope to help customers with.
Okay, sounds excellent. Now, I just had one more question about your company. What are your general plans for expanding Shift Left? Do you plan to offer newer variants of existing products and services, or perhaps offer a brand new offering, or you plan to enter newer markets?
Yeah, so great question. In 2018, Ravi, we focused a lot on building our stable platform. It now consists of three products, as I'd mentioned earlier, Ocular, Inspect, and Protect, which all work on the same foundational technology, the core property graph, and interwork with each other. Meaning if you use Ocular, you can write custom policies, which you can submit into Inspect. Inspect does modern code analysis most accurately, most comprehensively than any other company on the planet. And its policies, its knowledge of vulnerabilities can be fed into Protect. So now that we've delivered that platform of product suite, we are very much focused in 2019 to scale commercially. And so 2019 will be the year where we will grow our go-to-market, our sales team, our marketing team, our web presence will be amplified. And as we talked earlier, establish relationships with a few selected partners to amplify, to increase our go-to-market reach.
Okay. Now, based on your, very rich and deep experience and knowledge of cybersecurity, what do you think the biggest threat will be out there?
Yeah, I think the biggest threat in the next few years is going to be the very security of the source code itself. It is the source code, as Mark Andreessen has said it well, software eating the world. And every company in the world is becoming a software company increasingly. And so I think the biggest threat for us is if we become complacent and stop worrying about the very security of our source code. How are we writing it? What weaknesses are we letting it go out to our customers with? Or what weaknesses our application have when they're deployed in the cloud? Because once these weaknesses are exploited, the bad guys can steal sensitive information. They can compromise the very functionality of the application. And in some cases, it can be leveraged to gain a competitive advantage, either within the U.S. or across nation boundaries.
Okay. Now, finally, as we wrap up our show, and our last question is probably say the best for last year, what do you recommend for people and businesses to protect themselves and their environment from cyber hacks and cyber attacks? I get asked that question. Every cybersecurity professional, I'm sure, gets asked that. From your experience, what do you recommend to our audience? Just your top 2, 3, 5 tips to protect themselves from, you know, being attacked by, you know, a cyber hacker, you know, or what have you.
No, that's a great question. I love it. Look, I think first of all, there is no silver bullet out there. Very much like our digital footprint is very broad. We have to leverage different technologies to minimize the risk. We can almost never make it zero, but we have to constantly strive to reduce it. If we look at the last 2-3 years of data, it is very clear that the top security challenges are, number one, credential theft or spear phishing. Now, one of the best ways to address this is through by using multi-factor authentication. But I still constantly get surprised how many companies are not using MFA. Now, clearly, there are certain products, software, that don't allow for MFA. Well, then you should be challenging your vendors to implement MFA as soon as possible in their software. The second is the security of your applications, which you're deploying in the cloud. Because even if you read the Verizon Data Breach Report, which is perhaps the most seminal report which is published annually, educating us on the various sources of breaches, the second most often root cause for breaches after spear phishing is application exploits. And so you should ask yourselves, you probably have two kinds of applications that are deployed on-prem, where you perhaps have a slew of security technologies like firewall and intrusion detection and web application firewall. But you also are increasingly moving your applications into the cloud. And so you should be asking, what are you doing to protect your applications in the cloud? Now, the good part is, as you move your applications in the cloud, you inherently get better security. The reason why you get better security is because the likes of Amazon and Google and Azure, because their scale and expertise, have done a far better job at creating a robust infrastructure. So you no longer have to worry about infrastructure security. You don't have to worry about this protection of the network. You don't have to worry about the protection of the servers that your application is going to get deployed on, because that is their responsibility. You only have to focus on protecting your source code, your application. And so focus on application security. Figure out what is the best technology that suits your needs.
Now, just one last question. My background has been in biometrics traditionally. What do you feel about the use of biometric technology like fingerprint recognition, iris recognition, and multi-factor authentication?
Oh, that's a great question. Perhaps I was remiss in not adding that, I think, but I sort of kind of captured it in the MFA. I think it's absolutely critical that we continue to improve beyond the typical, you know, username and password information as a two-factor authentication. To the extent that we can leverage things like iris or fingerprinting techniques, or even more novel approaches in just things like just how you type on a keyboard or looking at your unique walking patterns that can be used to uniquely identify a person.
Okay. Well, Manish, we thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your time this evening. And we just want to wish you a wonderful Christmas and have a very happy New Year.
Thank you, Ravi. Thank you for taking the time. Great questions. I enjoyed it immensely. Happy holidays to you, too.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.